Hi, welcome back to the show. Well, in hour two of today's show, I have a guest who's coming on to talk to us about coal seam gas and the destruction of the environment in Australia. His name's Brian Monk. He's a farmer and he's part of a movement known as the Lock the Gate Alliance, Australians working together to protect our land, water and future. Now, it says here on the website from Lock the Gate Alliance that the mission is to protect Australia's natural, environmental, cultural and agricultural resources from inappropriate mining and to educate and empower all Australians to demand sustainable solutions to food and energy production. We're working in our local communities, home by home, road by road, to lock the gate and protect our land, water and future. And of course, the locking of the gate is actually quite real because in many cases, the gas drilling companies are coming on to people's properties without actually even being invited, without getting permission, and they're basically acting in a completely disrespectful way to people's property rights. And the government, on both state and federal levels, appears to be allowing this all to happen. And there are a number of questions about actual property rights and who actually controls and owns the resources that are under the ground, which I'm hoping to get into in today's show. But for now, I'd just like to welcome Brian Monk to the show. Brian, welcome to Truth News Radio.
Oh, look, thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely. Brian, it's great pleasure, great honour to have you on. I know you've done a lot of really great work there. I've watched a few videos and looked at a few things that are going on. It's incredibly busy. There's a lot going on in the whole movement against coal seam gas around the country. Would you be able to maybe just start off by giving our listeners a bit of background into who you are and how you came to be aware of these problems and what actually happened to you and what's happening to you now?
Yes, certainly. Look, it's a few years back now when the gas company came along and wanted to come onto our property. And, introducing myself, I've never been an activist.
Sure.
I find now that to not be an activist, really, I would say, is un-Australian now. But, I guess I've been as conservative as pretty much anyone in the country. And when the gas company did actually approach us, that really opened my eyes to how unjust this system has been set up. And, some people would describe the upper house of the Queensland government, which, of course, we don't have an upper house, but they describe the resource industry as the upper house. And certainly in Queensland and quite obviously New South Wales, what we've seen down there recently is a true indication of how the resource industry is running our nation and our states. So when they first approached us, they basically wanted to put a gas well on the property. And after some to-ing and fro-ing, we realised really that pretty much everything that came out of their mouth was a lie. They suggested that they only wanted to drill a gas well, an exploration well, and all that there would be a hole in the ground and a pipe sticking out of it, and it would be of no inconvenience to anyone. They neglected to tell us that that would actually take up a 1 hectare area that would be gravelled for wet weather access and dry weather access, that there would be a track involved from a gate that they would install to this well. They failed to tell us that every well is connected to every other well by pipelines and tracks, and they crisscross your countryside. And when we sort of gathered a little bit more information and balked at them coming on, basically the first thing they suggested was that if we didn't do a deal with them, then they would take us to Land Court, and that Land Court had the right to let them on and nothing could stop them. So that's not a really friendly way of doing business.
It certainly isn't, isn't it? If I could just ask you, the initial approach, when they first came to you, how was that done? I mean, was that done by sending you a letter initially, or did they just turn up? I'm just very curious to know what the actual step-by-step sequence of events was.
Okay, our house is a long way from our gate.
Yeah.
And so historically, we've always locked the gate.
Sure.
And with a chain and a padlock, because we wouldn't know if people were coming onto the property. And what we found was people would actually drive onto the property and shoot on our property, and yeah. that's very upsetting, to say the least, when a spotlight comes through your window in the middle of the night. Someone's out shooting.
Yeah.
So that's why we locked our gate, and that's why they had to actually send us a letter.
I see.
To arrange a meeting at the gate, because they couldn't get in one way or the other.
So typically, they just drive up to people's properties, do they? They just sort of come right in and knock on your door. Is that how they normally do the first approach?
Well, as I said, that wasn't our experience, but people have told me that is the experience that they've had.
Yeah.
Other people have received letters in the mail first. I think maybe that's dependent upon the land access consultant or maybe the individual companies. I'm not sure, but I've heard of it both ways, basically.
Yeah, sure. I'm just sort of really interested in understanding the approach, because I know that that they've got an incredibly high-handed way of dealing with people. And, of course, when being nice doesn't work, they immediately shift to these kind of threats. And so in your case, you initially obviously met them at the gate, you had a discussion, and then they went away. And did they then come back again? Was it like a series of phone calls? How did it then get into a kind of conflict-type situation? Did that happen quickly or slowly?
Probably not that quickly. They actually came on to have a look at the property, and initially we believed we had no choice. And also we believed that they were drilling for conventional natural gas, is a very different animal to coal seam gas or unconventional gas.
Yeah.
And so initially... I lived in legislation all of my life, and I believed that legislation was powerful. And so we tried to do a soft shoe shuffle, I guess, to try not to be taken to land court. And we wanted to be seen to be in some form of negotiation to try and hold them off.
I see.
So initially it was not a confrontational situation, even though from the very start they did threaten us with land court. But it very quickly deteriorated when they said, well, look, no, they didn't really want to put in one gas well. They wanted to put in five gas wells. Mm-hmm. And we realised that we weren't an exploration hole at all. We were actually the development of a gas field. And that changes that changes what's going on very quickly. So that's where it sort of started to become uncomfortable then. Once we found out that we were talking about having multiple wells drilled, that there would be people on our property for extended periods of time, and that it would be a permanent arrangement, that's when we started to become even more resistive.
Yeah.
And also in that period of time, we started to find out the difference between natural gas and an unconventional gas.
Right.
So our experience wasn't immediate, but it was fairly quick. It didn't, we're not talking months. It was a matter of just a few weeks at the most.
And so in terms of your awareness of your rights and what the rights of the government of the Commonwealth are, did you initially know that you did not have the right to, repel them? Or was this something that you discovered from subsequent research?
I already knew that.
Right.
That in legislation we had no right to resist them. Now, You say that they have all of the rights and we don't have any rights. I actually don't subscribe to that belief at all.
Okay.
I don't believe that in any way they have the right to just come onto our property. And even with a land court adjudication, I believe that that would be an unlawful act on the part of the judge.
Yeah.
So if you imagine, and this does get all tied up into property rights, I believe that the government sold the original landowner to this property. We've only been here for 10 years. And they sold the original landowner a fee simple title to this property. And now they come along, so that was issued maybe 100-odd years ago. What they've come along now and done is issued to a petroleum or to a gas company, and a foreign gas company at that, I might add, the right to the gas and the resources under our surface title.
Mm.
Now, as far as I can tell, our title was the first title, not their title. And in fact, when that title, our title, was first issued, it wasn't seen that the Crown had any right to fossil fuels at all. And that's only been something that's been changed maybe about 100 years ago. And I don't think that it's never been tried in any, you know, in the High Court in Australia. And sooner or later, someone needs to get this to the High Court. I don't believe that they have the right at all to gas. The Crown retained the rights to precious metals and stones. In no way did it ever think that it wanted coal or gas. I mean, no one was using gas back then, let alone unconventional gas. So I think Australians have been duped, to be totally honest. I think that we've been fooled, and you know, as the maximum of law does say, you know, if you are deceived, you are deceived. Let he who be deceived be deceived.
Yes, yes.
And I think they've done a wonderful job of deceiving most Australians.
Yes, it's fascinating. I mean, it's obviously a reinterpretation, or it's a type of interpretation of law, and obviously they would have had a lot of lawyers working on it. The position that they're taking is that obviously the gas companies bought a contract, so that they're asserting that they have the right to this. They're also pointing to some sort of legislation, mm-hmm. some sort of legal framework that tells you that you don't have a right to oppose them. But of course, that's just convenient for them to say that, isn't it? I mean, it's not up to them to determine that. It would be up to the High Court. And it's fascinating that has still yet to be challenged, that basic principle has yet to be challenged in the High Court. We're just actually going to break. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Brian Monk.
Absolutely.
Brian, we're just going to break. And when we come back, we'll be getting into more of this incredibly interesting and important topic for Australia and the environment. Stay tuned. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. I welcome back you with Truth News Radio. And my guest today is Brian Monk, a farmer turned activist who's working to try and bring awareness, to try and change the way in which gas companies are invading people's property, affecting the quality of their environment, affecting their air quality, their water quality, and basically acting in an incredibly rude and disrespectful way to people's property rights. I mean, there are so many different sides to this. And of course, Brian, in the first hour of today's show, I spent a long time talking about the importance of individual people standing up and taking risk. I was talking about the whistleblowers and huge news this week about the whistleblower who's exposed the NSA spying program. And you could say, well, it's a completely different topic to what we're talking about here. But actually, they're both deeply interconnected. The essence here about people's rights and freedom is that individuals have to take a stand. And this is what you have done. And of course, when you do that, it comes at a great risk to yourself, doesn't it? I mean, for those who go along to get along, there are various ways that they can minimize the effect on themselves. But when you actually take a stand against something that you know is unjust, you actually take a lot of risk. If you'd like to maybe just briefly address that, what it's been like for you going up against the Leviathan of these massive organizations.
It's been a very amazing journey for us. It's been an incredibly stressful one, and I've actually had to stand on the other side of the police force, which I've never done that in my life.
Yeah.
And it's basically. My son always calls it a David and Goliath battle.
Yeah.
And basically his name is David. So, but the interesting thing about this battle is that, and about the lack of rights, and as you were saying about, you know, whistleblowers, you know, Julian Assange, you know, all these people are coming forward. And you know, it's becoming very obvious that we're living in a police state now. I think that New South Wales proves that to the absolute maximum when you consider that the Lismore Council held a vote and they had around 90% of the people said they didn't want coal seam gas, and then Barry O'Farrell, the Premier, then announces that he's going to allocate leases on that area, and you start to realise that democracy is long gone in Australia. It's disappeared, and I think that, as you were saying, it's now time for Australians to stand up and take the responsibility of our government back onto our own shoulders, instead of being spoon-fed and thinking that Big Brother or the government is going to look after us.
Absolutely.
We need to learn that if we don't tell our government what we want it to do and make it do it, then we are in dire straits. We truly are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, in my understanding, democracy only exists if people action it, if people actually make the democracy active by standing up for what they believe in, by opposing what they know is wrong. If they don't do that, then the democracy actually just fades away. And I do believe that's actually happened over the last couple of generations in Australia. I think in some ways we've had it too good, it's not that good anymore. And it's not, you know, I think the good times are long gone, and where we're headed, it doesn't look too great. There are so many aspects of that, and as you say, the evolving police state and the way in which the powers that be just completely reinterpret, they reframe reality to suit their agenda. They make a mockery of our attempts to bring transparency and justice by actually redefining even the meanings of words. And in the later on in the show, I want to talk a little bit about the conflict that you have between the authorities and the scientific reports that are funded by the industry that are saying that there is actually no problem with coal seam gas, and the experience that you've got on the ground of what it's actually like. And maybe if we could just return now to your story, Brian, about what happened. So you opposed them. What then happened? Did you eventually agree to having a well put on the property?
No, we right. have never agreed to have the well put onto the property at all. We went down to the gate about every 3 months or 6 months and had a little argument with them about the fact that they were going to come on and that they were going to put wells on the property. And they had a pipeline that went onto our property, and that pipeline was part of the Coordinator General's project of significance. And that meant that the Coordinator General had the right to resume our land for that project. And we actually argued with the Coordinator General and with the company about that as well. And basically, we picked them up on a minor technicality, and really our property just became too hard for them to get onto when we started arguing. No, we've never had a gas well put onto the property at this point in time, and don't look like ever having a gas well put onto the property. I believe they have no lawful right to come onto our property, and so we won't let them on.
Right, so you have no gas wells on your own property, but you have a number of neighbours, obviously, in the area. Are there gas wells in the area that you know of?
Absolutely, we're surrounded by them, and that's why the very first time I went down to talk to people in northern New South Wales, I said to them, don't be like us. Don't lock up your gate because you need to lock up your community, because basically all but two of the properties around us have signed up for gas wells. So we have gas wells surrounding us now.
Wow, so that must put you in a rather awkward situation. You obviously have a very strong view on it. Your neighbours appear to have a different take on it. How do you get on with them? Are you on good terms with your neighbours? Have you tried to explain the whole situation to them?
Because of the health impact that it's had on my grandchildren and on pretty much everyone that lives in a gas field, I find it very difficult to deal with my neighbours in any... I mean, I'm not an impolite person, so our relationship with the neighbours would probably be safe to say it is extremely strained, but not hostile in any way, but certainly strained.
So your neighbours are reasonably content with the situation. They're not aware of a problem, and that's really interesting.
No, that's not true. That's not what I said. I have one of our neighbours has become incredibly unwell since he's had three gas wells popped on his property.
Right.
In fact, an experience with a coal seam gas company might start out rosy, but very, very few people who've been involved with a company for any length of time share that experience. There's only just the few pin-up boys that you see the gas companies dragging around the countryside paying thousands of dollars a day to be their PR people. There are not many people that are happy doing business once they've started.
Okay, so they've done a deal, they're getting some remuneration, but they're starting to experience the problems. But then, of course, it's hard, isn't it, for people to acknowledge that once they've made a commitment. We are just going to break. We'll be right back after the break with Truth News Radio Australia.
Bitter by the evening. Oh, what's sweet by morning?
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Talking to Brian Monk, farmer from Queensland, about coal seam gas and a whole variety of problems, part of it to do with property rights, part of it to do with health concerns. Now, we haven't actually really got into that yet. I'd like to spend the rest of the show really talking about these health concerns because they are probably the most important aspect of this. Brian, you don't actually have gas wells on your property, but obviously you know many people who do. You were saying one of the neighbours already has some health problems. Can you just give me a brief overview of what the health problems are that people can expect with this type of stuff going on their land?
I think the first things that you start to notice are burning raw eyes, burning raw nose, difficulty breathing, headaches are a really big one for most people. Lots of younger people, lots of people, my neighbour that I was just talking about has got incredibly horrendous nosebleeds. And those impacts, stretch all the way through to at an extreme. My second youngest grandson has developed epilepsy, and for anyone that wants to do some Googling around, they'll find that epilepsy and coal seam gas field or gas unconventional gas fields really do walk across the country together. They're vague type symptoms.
Yeah.
But if you look at the report done by Dr. Geraldine McCarran, who is a very highly qualified GP now, but she's also a surgeon and I think an obstetrician and a member of the AMA, like she's very highly qualified. And what she discovered was that the people that she surveyed, and she actually did quite an extensive survey compared to the pathetic Queensland health effort, which really didn't come out and even talk to people, what she found was that prior to the coal seam gas industry, people's health overall was quite good, and there was an absolutely savage decline in health and a massive increase in terrible symptoms, really. They don't sound like a terrible symptom. Like a headache doesn't sound like anything different to what everyone has, but yeah. You have a headache most days and it starts to become a bit of a problem. Little children with nosebleeds, with tingling hands and feet, these are classic symptoms of gas fields, unfortunately. Queensland Health can say what it likes. It did a very incompetent report, and certainly they will one day have to justify the way they did their work.
Right. Now, of course, the main problem here is the air being contaminated with gas, but also the water, right? So there is problems with gas actually in the water supply, and gas in the air. Now, I've seen some of the documentaries. I've seen your interview on the Four Corners investigation where you were demonstrating that there was actually gas bubbling up out of the water. Is this something that's actually happening all over the region?
Not really. Well, the gas, the water wells, the underground bores, yes, that's happening everywhere. There's gas in bores now. It's becoming more and more prevalent, and the companies are actually now running around trying to convince people to sign over for an undisclosed amount of money the right to their bore, and what they want to do is pump their water bores full of concrete, and they'll never have another water bore. That's the way it will be. Because, and in their words, their term is, your bore will be blowing gas within a year.
Really?
Now, people further west from us rely on underground water exclusively.
Yeah.
So they're in trouble. But if you imagine, we're at the start of this development here.
Yeah.
We've got, so this is only going to get worse. This is the very beginning. They're not exporting any gas. They're not really extracting much water yet. But our water bore is a classic example of the way the government has actually chosen to walk hand in hand with the industry against Australians. We are talking about the Queensland government now, who have come out repeatedly and tested our water bore with a report that says there is no gas in your water bore at flammable levels. Now, right. Anyone that does any YouTubing at all will have seen our water bore light, and it's been getting worse and worse. But the sadder part is that they've handed us back reports and they've said, look, we can't get any information on the fracked well that you claim might have impacted on your water bore. And yet they had that information all along. So the government departments have lied to us repeatedly.
Yeah.
When they did their water sampling, they didn't do comprehensive. It looks comprehensive until you realise what's left out. Now, we've got a scientist has kindly become involved and has looked at our water bore and at the results that the government gave us as compared to the results that would normally just come back from the analysis. And they took out, they removed areas of testing and or were so incompetent that they didn't test it. But the thing is, in a normal run of testing, all of these chemicals would be included, but they've eliminated them from our report. And the fellow that handed us the report handed it to my son, and he said, I'm delivering you the report as it was handed to me. Now, for mine, that would sound more like I'm giving you a report, but it doesn't really have much substance to it.
Mm.
And when the science has been done on the gas well that was fracked and our water bore, there's an absolute concrete correlation between the water in their gas well and the water in our water bore. And that changed over just a few weeks. We went from usable water to water that burnt my grandchildren's skin, that the cattle will no longer drink, that killed the frogs that had freely lived in the tank for a couple of years. Something changed, and yet our government and its departments are working hand in hand with the industry. And if I was a conspiracy theorist, which I am, I never was,
sure.
But this makes you a conspiracy theorist, one would believe, especially when you look at how many people have gone from government jobs to company jobs, like the person that was in charge of the LNG enforcement unit when our first waterbore testing was done, then went to work for Santos, I think, and then came back briefly into the Gas Field Commission and has now gone again, so I'm told. You know, it's hard not to start thinking conspiracy. It truly is.
Yes, it's the revolving door too, isn't it? I mean, it's the same people go from one organisation to another. They'll go from a government organisation to a corporate setting and back again. They'll be involved in scientific studies. They'll also have vested interests in the business. And what I find incredible about what you said is that you mentioned earlier that the gas companies have actually acknowledged that the bores are going to be blown out by gas. So on the one hand, they're basically saying, yep, it's happening. Your bores are going to be blown out. We'll pay you to basically buy this from you and concrete it up if you want. But on the other hand, the government and the sciences, or the paid science, is denying that this is going on.
Yes. Well, I don't know how they can deny that, because there's a water report that they actually developed that predicts drawdown levels of water bores of anything in some areas of anything up to 900 metres. That's nearly a kilometre of water gone.
It is quite hard to grasp this. Look, we are just going to break. We'll be back for one more segment. I'm talking to Brian Monk. Really important discussion. Do stay with us. Hi, welcome back. We're with Truth News Radio, and you're listening to an interview with Brian Monk, farmer from Queensland, who is standing up to the Goliath of the gas companies. Brian, we're just talking there in the last segment about bogus scientific studies. Now, I just wanted to get a brief opinion from you. I discovered something today on YouTube, and it is actually a discussion with a scientist who he said he was actually paid by the CSG companies to do a study or to interpret the results of a study. And she's talking with some people here. I'm not sure if you're involved in this. It had your name in it, and I had a quick look at it earlier. But she's talking about the Tara region. Is that anywhere near where you live?
We actually live between Tara, Chinchilla and Dalby. So it's nearly equal distance from us to any of the three towns around us. But certainly the gas fields that she's talking about, the people who are being made sick, are the only people that really live near gas fields, other than the odd farmer. That's about maybe 18 to 20 kilometres from here, yes.
That's interesting. I'll just play you a bit of the clip and I'll get your opinion on. You can tell me to stop if you want at any point. She's basically implying here that the people in this region have some health problem that's totally unrelated to the gas. It's something to do with their lifestyle, one would assume. But I'm just going to play it. And she also goes on to basically say that there is no detectable levels of contaminants in the water or the air in their study. So let me just play that for you now.
Obviously, there's a lot going on here in Tara, okay? Mm-hmm. And, I've worked in Queensland for quite some time, and there's lots of issues with a whole range of communities, right? When you don't have good access to healthcare, when you don't have good access to medications and all those sorts of things, right?
Well, we get all our
healthcare
treatment from Brisbane.
Yeah, no, you can stop there.
Right? Yeah, sure. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, that's quite obviously a YouTube clip that we put up with the permission of those landowners.
Sure.
Yes, that lady probably didn't mention that she used to work for the government and was involved in the approval of the environmental authority either, but... when we're talking revolving doors. I don't know what science degree that woman has, if she has one at all. I didn't bother asking.
Yeah.
I'm not overly interested. That when she was giving that, later on in that clip, I say, well, her results have already been proven to be a lie. Those results were proven to be a lie by Southern Cross University, who drove around searching of New South Wales, they drove around searching for only three admissions. That's all that they were equipped to search for. One was carbon dioxide, one was radon, which is, I might add, the second greatest cause of lung cancer in the world, and the other one was methane. The problem with everything that she has said there is that if you've got those three gases, which are 100% related to coal seam gas, right? If you've got those three gases, you've also got every other toxic gas that comes out of a gas field. So the results, in my opinion, in fact, this has been stated quite clearly by scientists to me, that was not a scientific study of any kind. It was not a health study. That's been told to me by doctors. There was no health study. Not one human body was studied by the Queensland Health Department. All the Queensland Health Department did was relied on the information that was collected by QGC, or British Gas's preferred contractor. So their preferred contractor, who was coming up for renewal of contract at the time, gathered the information. They then filtered through the test results, and they then gave those results to Queensland Health. Now, in that YouTube that you were playing, she actually says that she felt that the same company that was going to give Queensland Health the, I call it, the sanitised results, was then tendering to actually write the Queensland Health Department report. She also says in that YouTube that she didn't believe there was an independent company in Queensland or probably Australia who would be able to review the data.
Mm. Yeah, now, she says that earlier. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
And the very, very sad part about it is that that family had already got the results back from one of their children who had toluene levels that would have knocked an adult worker over. And yet no government department tested that small child at all. That had to be done by Gerilyn McCarran, who I mentioned earlier on. Had she not done that, that family would have never known that their small boy was so impacted by chemicals. And Dr. McCarran also ordered testing for me, and what they found was the same gas field chemicals in my tests, nowhere near as high as that poor boy's.
And yet she says there quite blatantly, she says there is no exceedance of levels.
And she also didn't mention that some of what they called exceedance or level of reporting was three times higher than what would be an acceptable exceedance of level in, say, Canada.
Okay.
So they picked some very horrendous methods. In fact, the National Toxic Knickknack, or I think they're called, they actually reviewed that reporting and they basically said it was unscientific and atrocious, and the testing results were, well, they didn't call them bogus, but they basically called them next to useless.
I just want to play a little more of the clip, and I just want you to comment on it again, because she goes on to actually state that again. I think it's very important when public officials make statements to actually hold them accountable for what they said. So I'm just going to play this again.
She isn't a public official. She works for the gas company.
Indeed. Very good point. But it's still someone who is part of the establishment of the corporatocracy, I like to call it. So here we go.
Brisbane. So you're telling me that the Brisbane specialists down there are doing the right thing.
I'm not saying that.
You're just saying out here at Tara our health is not real good.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
That's what you said.
What I'm saying, sorry, is that on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Well, I haven't got permission to talk in front of a video.
I made it clear. I don't want anyone out here ever again after the blunt and lies that QGC and BG do. I made it clear to Zoe last week, everything will be recorded from here on in.
What I'm saying is that there's nothing in these results that would indicate any reason for any of the things that you're experiencing here. At the end of the day...
Okay, that's probably enough. She says there is nothing in these results that would account for anything you're experiencing here. Now, this is the sort of thing I believe people need to be held accountable for. Do you think she's lying, or do you think she's simply confused? How can she make a statement like that?
Okay, well, now you're asking for an opinion here.
Yeah.
An opinion I can't prove, so I'll give you my honest opinion. My honest opinion was that she was clearly lying.
And that's really important. I mean, the gut feeling is probably the only thing we've got to go on in this type of situation, and I know how difficult it is, and you probably don't want to cast aspersions like that about someone who you want to take people on good faith. I just find it incredible. I find it incredible that people can lie to such an extent. I mean, I have great trouble telling lies. You know what I mean? Like, everyone tells the odd lie in their life. But the point is, with something as serious and grave as this, I can't understand how people can lie so much. I mean, what's your take on that?
Oh, wow. Look, I've felt now, since being involved in this, that somewhere along the line, psychopaths have found their way into our systems. And this woman clearly should have known better. I believe she would have known better. She worked for the government prior to working for BG.
Yeah.
So I believe that she knew better. I believe I had the disgraceful or the disgusting experience of listening to the gas company, to the Queensland Health, the people that actually wrote that report supposedly, but we find out that they really didn't. They tendered it out, or supposedly, according to that woman, they tendered it out.
Sure.
But when they tried to explain how they came to that result, they had no foundation. They had nothing to base. Like, they tested not one human body, if you know what I mean. Like, how would you know when you're sick, if you're feeling unwell, you go to the doctor, they don't say, well, hang on, I'll order the gas company to do some testing, do they?
Mm.
They say, hang on, we'll do some blood tests, we'll do some urine tests, we'll do an x-ray or something. You expect a doctor or a health department to test human people. And they have never done that. And when I actually ask them, and this is something that people need to become more aware of with coal seam gas, and it'll be the same with shale gas, and it's the same with coal mining as well.
Mm.
Radioactive nucleides.
Sorry, keep going.
Okay, yeah. Radioactive nucleides. What people don't realise is that there is clear evidence that they are in the chinchilla weir. The chinchilla weir's chinchilla gathers its water from the chinchilla weir, and it has radionuclides in it.
Brian, we are just at the end of the hour. Sorry about that. Thank you so much for coming on today. The business about radionuclides is something I want to cover on another show. Extremely important. Brian, hats off to what you're doing. It's really fantastic. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Well, that's about it for this week, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week. See you then.